If you create an application or an API that is secured with Microsoft Entra ID, you're likely going to require a consumer of your application to provide an OAuth access token in order to access your application or your API. But anyone can create an OAuth access token. It's just a JSON object that has a set schema and then has been Base64 encoded. There's nothing really secure about it. If you've elected to use Entra ID to secure your REST API, you have an established trust with Entra ID, and therefore, when you receive an OAuth access token from the caller, you should validate two things. You should validate the token was generated by Entra ID and its contents have not been altered since it was created, and the token is intended to be used only by your API, by me. In this video, I'm going to show you how to do both of these things. Hi, I'm Andrew, and this episode is also available as a video on my YouTube channel and as an article on my site. Check the show notes for links to these and other resources. And check out my bi-weekly newsletter, where I talk about the same kind of topics and share the most important news in the Microsoft 365 and Microsoft Azure space for full-stack developers, delivered straight to your inbox. Okay, let's get back to the concept of working with access tokens. As I said, anyone can create an OAuth access token. It's just a JSON object that has a set schema and then has been Base64 encoded. There's nothing secure about it. What legitimizes its use as a security token is that the creator of the token digitally signs the token with a public-private key pair. The creator of the token is going to use their private key, and they're going to include the result in the OAuth access token in the JWT format, which stands for JSON Web Token. Now, as I said at the start of this video, in your custom app, you should do two things when you get this access token. You should validate that the token you receive was generated by Entra ID and that its contents have not been altered. And you should also validate that the token is intended only by you. Now let's tackle that first part. Okay, so how do you validate an Entra ID JWT token? Or more specifically, how do you validate that the JWT token that you receive was created by Entra ID and it hasn't been modified? Well, a JWT token is going to contain three main sections. The header section that specifies the algorithm that's used to digitally sign the token and the type of the token, the payload, which is the data in the JWT token, which is what we want to work with, and then there's the verification signature, and this is the part that contains the digital signature of the token that was generated by Entra ID's private key. Now, the way you validate that the authenticity of the JWT token's data is by using the Entra ID's public key to verify the signature, and if that works, you know that the contents were signed with the private key. If not, you can't be sure of it, so you should treat the JWT token as an invalid token. So back to the question, how do we validate the Entra ID JWT token? Well, you have a couple different ways you can do this. Now let's start by looking at the manual process of obtaining the public key. Now you first need to obtain the Entra ID public key. So to do this, you can start by calling the public Entra ID OpenID configuration endpoint. That's located at login.microsoftonline.com/common/.wellknown/OpenID configuration. When I navigate to that URL, you're going to see that I'm getting back this JSON object response. Within the JSON response that you see here, you're going to see a property called JWKS_URI. Now that's the endpoint or the URL that contains the JSON web key set for Entra ID. For Entra ID, that URI is login.microsoftonline.com/common/discovery/keys. If I go to that endpoint, that's going to return a collection of all the public keys that Entra ID uses to sign tokens. Entra ID is actually using the private key that's part of the public-private key pair. The private key is naturally kept secret and never shared, but the public key is shared for anyone to use so that we can validate that the content was digitally signed with the matching private key. So when I go to this endpoint, you're going to see an array of a whole bunch of keys, and each key has a set of properties. Now, I'm only interested in a few of these properties, but you can learn all about these different properties from a link that I'm going to share here at the bottom of the screen. I'm also going to include it as a link in the description under the video. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to submit an HTTP GET request to get a list of all of these keys. Now, what I'm looking for is a key that has the same thumbprint of the X509 certificate, or the SHA-1 thumbprint, that's listed in the header of my JWT token that I got from Entra ID. Wait a minute, how do I get that? So I'm gonna use this tool called JWT.io. It's my favorite tool for looking at JWT tokens and easily decoding real tokens. So I'm gonna use one that I got from Microsoft Teams app by obtaining the single sign-in token from Microsoft Teams in my app. So I'm going to go to JWT.io and I'm going to paste in a access token that I received from a custom app that I built for Microsoft Teams that's going to obtain the single sign-on token from Teams that I can use for obtaining other access tokens. So I'm just going to paste in my access token right here. Now, you can see I have the header section at the top. Here's the payload right below it, and then the verification of the signature. Now, one of the things that this tool is doing, if I open up the DevTools, and if I just come back in, refresh the page, clear everything out, and then scroll back down, let me wait for this to finish, and we paste in my token. So what I want you to notice, if I come down here and I paste in the token that I've received as a single sign-in token from Microsoft Teams, you'll notice here a couple things. Again, I've got the header part of the JOT token right over here that's been decoded. If I scroll down a little bit farther, here's the payload, all the data that's inside of the token. And farther down, there's the signature. If you actually look at the developer tools, you can see that it's going to this OpenID, the login.microsoft online endpoint for my tenant to go obtain the JWKS URL for the JSON web key set. And it's gonna use that to obtain, so you see here if I go to the pre or the response, there's the JWKS URI. And then if I go to the keys, you'll see a list of all of my keys. So I can see an array of all the keys that are available to me. So this is how the JWTIO app is validating the key. So if I scroll down here to the very bottom, you can see that it says the signature is verified. If anywhere in here I change a value here, you can see the signature is no longer valid because it no longer matches the digital signature that's inside of the signature of the app. Or actually, here's the payload right here is the purple part. So if I change a value there, the whole thing is no longer valid. Now, let's get rid of that D that we just added. So what I want to do is if I scroll up to the top here, I need this KID thing for the key ID. And you can see some other information here, like the type is a JOT token. The algorithm that's being used is the RS-256 or RSA. And then here is my KID. So I'm looking for one called H9NJ5A. So if I come back over here to the JWKS endpoint, I scroll down, I'm going to find a matching KID, a key ID with that same ID. And what I'm looking for is this value right here, the X5C. That's the X509 certificate. Now, what I'm going to want to do is grab this value right here, and I'm going to want to wrap it in some begin and end certificate markers. Okay, so now I've got the key, the 509C property, right? And so now what I want to do is I want to take that key and I want to create a certificate out of it. Now's a good time to switch over to the code, and let's see how we can go about doing this with some simple JavaScript. So what I'm going to do is create a new file here, test01. And what I'm going to do is I've already in my package.json, I've already installed something called the JSON web token package. So if I come over here to test01 and I go const, and let's go through and let's get a reference to that package. Okay. Now that I have that, let's go create our key. Now for the key, what I'm going to do is I want to wrap the key in these little markers for this begin certificate and then the end certificate, and I want them to be on, be separated by new lines. So what I needed to get is that entire key and put it right inside of that certificate. So I'll come back over here, I'll take my key that I just found, copy the entire value here, and I'll go ahead and paste it in. Okay, so that's our entire key. Now that we have our key, now let's go load our JSON token, our JOT token. So I'll just use the same JOT token we used in the JWT.io. Now, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and validate it. I'm going to do that using this JWT tool. I'll call verify, and I'll pass in the access token and the key that I want to use to validate that it's valid. Now, what I'll then do is that if it's valid, we should continue. We shouldn't throw an error. So what I'm going to do is let's pull a property out of, or one of the scopes, out of the payload of our certificate, and let's write that out. So I'm going to write out the UPN property from the UPN scope or property from the JOT token. This is commonly like used as like the login for your user account. So for me, this should be my test account. Go to decoded token, and it's got a property of preferred underscore username. All right, so let's give it a shot. And here we can see we validated. The token was seen as deemed valid because this JOT verify did not throw any exceptions. If I put something in here that's going to definitely break this. So let's say I use a different key here. So I'm just going to delete a little bit of our key and save our changes. And I'm going to run it again. Now, the next time I run it, you'll notice here I'm getting a JSON web token invalid algorithm error here. Because what that's telling me now is there's something about the certificate or the data in the key that's saying that nothing is valid here. If I put that back, we can actually see all the values coming back from our token. So now, instead of just doing the URN, let's look at the entire token, save our changes, and now let's go through and rerun it. And now we can see a list of all the different values that we have in our token. So we have a couple things like who the audience is. This is who it is intended for. So I can make sure that this is intended for my Intra ID app where I'm accepting the key and I've created an Intra ID app to identify who my app is. This is who the issuer is. IAT is who, what the timestamp was of when it was issued. NBF says when that it was not before. It should not be used before this timestamp. The EXP is this token is only valid until this date. There's a couple other things that are interesting here. There's the display name. So there's my name. The object ID, that is the unique GUID of my account in my Microsoft Intra ID tenant. The preferred username, this is what I use to log in. That's my Microsoft 365 developer tenant. The scope that I'm using is access as user. So access as user is a permission we use in our Intra ID apps for a custom Microsoft Teams app that wants to support single sign-on. TID, that is the ID of the Microsoft Intra ID tenant where my subscription is set up. I can even drop in another token here that is one that I used to obtain an OBO token using the on behalf of flow to call Microsoft Graph. So let's see if this one will actually validate. And sure enough, this one does. Now, what's interesting though, is that you don't have to stop here. You can actually make your life a little bit easier. This isn't the only way to get the public key the way you saw me do it manually by having to look through stuff. Let me show you another way that you could do this. There's another tool that's very popular called the JWKS RSA tool. And what this is gonna allow you to first to create a client where you can pass in the JWKS URI for the endpoint where you wanna go get the key. So this would be, I'd point to the URL that I used in the browser a minute ago to get a list of all the Intra ID key sets that were used for signing. Then what I could do is extract the KID from my access token. So that part here, if I go back and look at my access token, it's broken up into three different pieces here. So when you look at your access token, this is how you can look at how things are broken up. The first part of the access token is the header. The second part of the access token is the payload. And the third part is the digital signature that you see here. They're separated by a period or by a dot. So what I could do is I could take just this piece right here. I could convert this. I could by Base64 decode this because this is a Base64 encoded value. So here I'll just paste in this value and decode it. And there I can go get the KID from this. So I could do that same thing programmatically, use that KID, pass it in, specify the, extract the KID, then use the JWKS client to call get the signing ID by passing in that KID. That gives me back the entire key, and then I can retrieve the public key that we used in the middle of our certificate, this piece that you saw right here. So what I've shown you is here how to take a JWT token and determine if it's a valid token, who it came from. That's step one in your validation process. But remember I said there was two validation steps that you wanted to do. At this point, we validated that the token was created by Microsoft Intra ID, who we trust. And now we can see all the values inside of that JWT token. But as I said earlier, you shouldn't stop there. You should then validate the contents of the token are what you expect them to be. Think about it like this. Say you have a house with a single door on it. And in order to gain access to the door, you need to use a key to unlock that door. All we've done so far is to validate it's a real key, but we shouldn't just accept any key to come into our house. We should ensure that the key is valid for this house. So to do this, you need to look at the payload of the JWT token and validate the different properties. These are also known as claims. Remember that AUD claim that I talked about earlier, or the audience claim that I mentioned at the beginning of this article? That claim is in the payload, and there are a lot of claims that we can validate again. For example, I could validate the audience. That's the intended recipient of the token. For example, if I get a token for Graph, Microsoft Graph will validate the token's AUD claim contains the Microsoft Graph ID. The issuer, or ISS, that's the authorization server of the token. In our case, that's going to be Microsoft Intra ID. That's going to be the tenant of the user that was authenticated to obtain that token. You could use this property to only support or accept tokens that were submitted from a specific list of tenants and block all the others. There's one called subject, which is SUB. That is the user or the subject of the token. Then I talked about all those time-related claims, like issued at time and not before time or expiration time. There's also identity-related claims about the tenant ID, the object ID, the name of the user, which is a human-readable name, and the preferred username. But then we have all these security and permission claims, things like roles for the assigned roles for the user of the claim, scopes, which is a list of all the permissions or scopes that the user has granted consent to the app that specifies what the token has rights to do. The token type, which is the ID TYP, this is used to indicate that the token is an app token and a user token or a device token. Now, there's just one very important point that I really want to make before we wrap this up. You're going to find tons of utility libraries and packages that help simplify this process. I showed you one, the JWKS RSA package. Now, my goal in this video was to explain how this process works so you understand what's involved. If you elect to take a dependency on some package that claims it's going to do it for you, as with any library that you take a dependency on, you better make sure that you verify that that library and you trust the publisher of that library. So what do you think about validating access tokens from IntraID for use in your custom apps? Let me know by leaving a comment on my site, on social media, or below the YouTube video that's associated with this episode. You'll find all the links in the show notes. I'm Andrew Connell. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you in my next video.